Revelation 22 is where we are. Revelation chapter 22, the last few verses, verses 13 down through verse number 21. The Bible begins with a promise about the coming of the Messiah. It begins in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, with a promise that there would come one who would crush the head of Satan. Upon crushing Satan's head, man would recognize his need for a Savior, a Redeemer, someone who would rescue him from his sin, and then ultimately destroy Satan himself. So the Bible begins with a promise about the coming of a Redeemer. And all throughout the Old Testament, there was that promise that was given, that anticipation of one who would come and save men from his sin. The Bible closes with the same promise about the coming of the Messiah. Not to redeem man, but to judge man. Because he's coming again, he extends an invitation. Because he is certain to arrive again, he offers an invitation to man that somehow he might come to the Savior, be redeemed from his sins. We've been looking at that invitation in Revelation 22, verse number 17. It says this, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." That's the invitation. It's free to those who recognize the fact that they have a need. They're thirsty, they're hungry, they're weary, they're needy. And Christ says, you come and take freely from the water of life without cost to you. That's the invitation. We talked about that last week. And surrounding that invitation are five incentives, five compelling reasons why man needs to respond to the invitation. Five incentives that will help motivate you in your evangelistic efforts to give the word of the Lord out to people who need to hear the truth. The first was the fact of the identity of the Christ, who he is. It says in verse number 13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." The reason you need to give your life to Christ is because of who he is. He is everything. He is the center of all things. He is before all things. He is after all things. All things are about him because he created all things. He says, you come to me for who I am. Not only that, he says down in verse number 16, I, Jesus. Only time that phrase is used in the Bible. It's a personal invitation from Jesus Christ to you. It's not some individual off the street making the invitation. It's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords making the invitation. He is the one inviting you to come to his kingdom and be a part of his life. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. Because of who I am, that's why you need to come. I am the bright morning star. I'm the one who comes when your life is dark. And I'm the one that gives light to a life that has no hope. That's who I am. That's why you need to come to me. That's why you need to give your life to me. Because I'll take you in the midst of your darkness, shine my light upon you, and give you my life. So that's the first incentive. It's because of who is giving the invitation. Jesus Christ, the Alpha, the Omega, the bright morning star. But number two, there's a second reason why you need to respond to the invitation. There's another reason why you need to give your life to Christ. And it's this: because of the exclusivity of heaven. The exclusivity of heaven. The reason you need to give your life to Christ is not because, or just because of the nobility and the identity of the one who offers the invitation, but for the simple fact that heaven isn't for everybody. Heaven is only for certain people. Not everybody's going to go there. Question is, are you going to go? The Bible says in verse number 14, these words, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying." In Revelation 22, verse number 14, you had the last beatitude in the book of Revelation. If you've been with us, you know that there are seven blessings, seven beatitudes in the book of Revelation. This is the seventh one. And Christ says very clearly that there are people who are inside and people who are outside. Contrary to what you hear on television, heaven isn't for everybody. It's only for certain people. Who are those people? The Bible tells us. Those who have clean garments. Those, the Bible says, who wash their robes. Remember what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 9:14, that it's the blood of Christ that cleanses you. It says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, that we are not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. So the reason you come is because of the exclusivity of heaven. The only people who get into heaven are the people whose sins are forgiven. Those are the only ones. People whose sins aren't forgiven, people who have not repented of their sins, are not going to make it. That's important for us to understand. Those who have been cleansed are able to partake of the tree of life. We studied that in Revelation 22, verse number 2. And they are the ones who enter by the gates. The gates depict for us the city of Jerusalem. Those who are able to get into the new heaven and the new earth. Those who are able to get into the capital city of the new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem, are those whose robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The point being is that heaven is not for everyone. Some people are going to be left out. The ones left out are the ones who are still dead in their trespasses and in their sin. Ephesians 1:7 says that redemption comes through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. The only way man can be forgiven is through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way. And unless man understands that and appropriates the work of Christ on Calvary some 2,000 years ago to his life today, he will never enter heaven. The Bible says in verse number 15, outside are these people. And the first thing he mentions are dogs. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Why would he mention dogs? Listen to what I'm going to say. Dogs today are a lot different than dogs back during the time of Jesus, during the time of John. We've domesticated the dog today. Our dog's able to come into our house and lay at the foot of our bed. Sometimes he lays on our bed. Sometimes he lays on us on our bed. But he lays by our fireplace and he comes in. We pet him and all that kind of stuff. But in those days, dogs were scroungy animals. Dogs were dirty, filthy animals. In fact, the Jews called the Gentiles dogs, because they were the lowliest of all creatures on the earth. Dogs never are too concerned about what they do in front of others. You ever notice that? It's a word used to describe the blatant impure. those who have no desire to hide their sinfulness. And then it says, there are also sorcerers, those who practice magic and those involved in drugs. There are the immoral persons, is where I get our English word pornography. There are the murderers. There are the idolaters, those who worship other than the true God. They are the liars as well, those who practice lying. Now let me give you the good news. The good news is this. The invitation is extended to those people. The invitation is extended to the immoral person, the idolater, the effeminate, the homosexual, the adulterer, the thief, the liar, the murderer, the dog. Why? Because in one degree or another, all of us were in one of those categories. And 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, in verse number 11, and such were some of you. There you go. Some of you fell in that category. Some of you were swindlers. Some of you were revilers. Some of you were homosexuals. Some of you were thieves. Some of you were murderers. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. The point is this. Hear the invitation, because only those who are forgiven of sins such as these enter heaven. That's the point. It's not that we've never done those things. It's that we have done those things, yet we have appropriated the blood of Calvary on our behalf. And therefore, we are justified. Therefore, we are sanctified. Therefore, we have been washed in the blood of that Lamb. And therefore, we have clean robes. We've been washed. Therefore, we have entrance. So the invitation is come, drink, take, and receive forgiveness. If you don't, you'll be left outside. Where is outside? Revelation 20, verse number 15 tells us, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's what's outside of the kingdom of heaven. So why is it we respond to the invitation? Number one is because of the identity of Christ. Number two is because of the exclusivity of heaven. Not everybody goes. The only ones who go are those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I mean, think about it. Who doesn't want forgiveness from their homosexuality? Who doesn't want forgiveness from their murders? Who doesn't want forgiveness from their thievery? Who doesn't want forgiveness from their lying? Who doesn't want forgiveness from the swindling? Who doesn't want forgiveness from all those things? The only ones who don't are the ones who love those things. Is that not true? That's why they haven't appropriated the blood of Christ on their behalf. Men love darkness rather than light, the Bible says. Therefore, their deeds are evil. The third reason why you need to respond to the invitation is because of the finality as well as the veracity of Scripture. Because of the finality and the veracity of Scripture. The Bible says in verse number 18, I testify to everyone. Who's that? I believe that's Christ. In fact, if I was writing this Bible, I would make verses 13 all the way down to verse number 21, the red letter edition. Okay? If I was translating the Bible. I testify. Who's that? Well, verse number 20 tells us, he who testifies to these things says what? Yes, I am coming quickly. So the one who is testifying is the one who's saying, I am coming quickly. So in all reality, it should be a red letter edition there in verse number 18. It says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. The Bible ends with this fact. The fact being that what you hear is absolutely true. The veracity of Scripture, the truthfulness of Scripture is a reason to respond to the invitation. Why? Because everything God has said in this book, in the book of Revelation, is absolutely true. It is certain. It's going to happen just as he said it's going to happen. And I know that, as the Bible says, that in the end times, scoffers will come and they will say, well, where is the promise of his coming? He said he was coming, he is not here. And people don't believe what God said in his word. But because of its veracity, because it is absolutely truthful. It says over in verse number 6, and he said to me, these words are faithful and true. You can take them to the bank. You can count on them. They are absolutely true. Christ said, his name in Revelation 19 is faithful and true. Because he is true, his words are true. Therefore, you need to respond to the invitation because of the veracity of Scripture. It's absolutely going to happen just as God said it's going to happen. These words that you have heard, because they are true, they must not be altered. They must not be changed. They must not be added to. They must not be omitted. The word is living. The word is eternal. The word is faithful. The word is true. Therefore, you better respond. Over 1,400 times in the New Testament, the writers refer back to what God said in the Old Testament, either directly quoting it or alluding to it. This is the word of God. We need to treat it as such, not taking away nor adding to the words that are there. The Bible says very clearly, don't expand on it and don't erase from it. Take it at face value for what it says. It's important. Number 4. The fourth reason you need to respond to the invitation. Number 1, because of the identity of Christ. Number 2, because of the exclusivity of heaven. Number 3, because of the finality and the veracity of Scripture. God's word is true. What he says is true. It's going to happen just like he said. So you better respond to the invitation. And don't think you can get around it by adding to it or taking away from it. You will notice that those who have added to it have a different plan of redemption. Those who have added to the Bible look for different means of getting into glory. God says, don't do that. There's only one way to heaven. That's through me, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood. But number 4, the fourth reason you need to respond is because of the certainty of Christ's return. The certainty of Christ's return. One final time, verse number 20 says, he testifies to these things, says, yes, I am coming quickly. These are Christ's last words. I am coming quickly. And John affirms it. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So be it. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. I mean, after all that he's seen, he wants the Lord to come back. And the quicker the better for him. And the quicker the better for us as well. But because of the certainty of Christ's return. There were 333 prophecies given concerning the coming of the Messiah. There were 109 of them fulfilled at his first coming, leaving 224 of them to be fulfilled in his second coming. God's word is at stake. If he doesn't return, He's a liar. But he's coming again. Because his words are faithful and true. No man knows the day nor the hour. He could come at any moment. Are you ready? Lastly, the fifth reason, the fifth incentive, why did he respond to the invitation? It is because of the availability of his grace. Because of the availability of his grace. Verse number 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. God's last word is a word of grace. God's unmerited favor. A.W. Tozer speaks of grace this way. Grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits on the undeserving. It was Louis Burkhoff who said, "The unmerited grace is the unmerited operation of God in the heart of man, effected through the agency of the Holy Spirit." God's unmerited favor towards sinful man is what grace is. And because of the availability of his grace, you need to respond to the invitation. Grace is an attribute of God. Psalm 112, verse number 4 says, "He is gracious and compassionate and righteous." Joel 2:13 says, "He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil." 1 Peter 5:10 says that God is the God of all grace. John 1:14 says that his Son is full of grace and truth. And over in Hebrews 10, verse number 29, it says his Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. The last verse of Revelation is a benediction. A benediction. Which literally means to speak a good word concerning somebody else. To wish another well. It's only because of God's marvelous grace that anyone can have wellness in life. And John says, at the very end, amen. So be it. It's faithful. It's true. Let it be. Listen, the word amen has profound significance in the scriptures. 76 times in the Bible, the word amen, or verily, or truly, is said at the beginning of the sentence. 48 times in the Bible, it is said at the end of the sentence. All 76 times it's used at the beginning of a sentence, it's used by Christ. And all 48 times it's used at the end of a sentence, it's used by someone other than the Christ. Christ says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Amen, amen." You can bank on what I'm going to say. This is absolute truth. And then he says it. Yet when we at the very end say amen to what he has just said, it means we believe. We believe. And because we believe, we are prepared to act. That's what amen means. Amen says, yes, I believe. And because I believe, I'm going to act. I'm going to do it. And that's what John says. At the very end, yes, I believe. Question is, are you ready to act? If you're an unbeliever, are you ready to act, to respond to the invitation? Are you ready to say, yes, amen, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. I believe that heaven is only for those whose sins are forgiven. I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Word of God is true. You can't add to it, you can't take away from it, because everything God wants to say is recorded in these 66 books. And yes, I believe that the one who offers that invitation is the Alpha and the Omega, the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. Yes, I believe I am ready to act. How will you act? Will you do as what was recorded early in Revelation 22 about submitting totally to the Word of God? Speaking truthfully the Word of God? And serving tenaciously your God while you're on earth? Because that's the believer's response. Yes, God. Amen. I believe it. I will act. And I hope that you can say, as John said, yes, amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.